Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Flowery Branch inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We've got a huge interview today because hopefully he will be talkative. He's always kind of talkative. And hopefully he will answer our questions in regards to not only where he's at, but his future. And this Falcons
I didn't forget
team.
How to play quarterback.
We know. You've said it many times. And that is the voice of Kirk Cousins, Mike Bell. Cannot wait to hear what he has to say, or at least how he responds to some of the things that we are going to throw at him today. We will also get a chance to talk to Coach Raheem Morris. He addressed the media earlier before practice. There are some things that came out of that we need to discuss, including the return of Drake London.
Yeah, man, and that's great news, especially if you are a Falcon fan that wants to see him and Kyle Pitts coexist in the offense. You know, it's almost like, are you telling me it's like the Hawks with DeJounte Murray and Trey? We can't find a way to get Pitts and Drake to function and put up big numbers simultaneously, especially with how inconsistent the rest of the wide receiver core has been. But great to hear that Drake's going to be coming back. And it's funny, I was telling Carl before the show, I went into the media room today, and there's about 12 or 13 folks in there. And I said, hey, I'm something fun for the radio. Anonymous poll, do you think that Coach Morris keeps his job or gets got in the offseason? Not everybody participated. Some people were editing. They had their headphones on. But of Atlanta media elite, 5-4 say the coach is going to be fired at the end of the season. They think he's going to get got. And I was saying how, you know, Day-Day feels the coach has kind of been sort of zen-like in his peace, or is at peace with the decision, which led him to believe that, you know, maybe it's leaning one way more than the other. But the media in Atlanta, I guess, tight vote. Nine folks at 5-4, they think that Arthur Blank's going to move on at the end of the year.
Look, I think, put me in that corner too. I think that it's a hard argument for him to go to Mr. Blank, and they will, if they already haven't. But I do think he will get this opportunity and describe why things have gone the way they have without him taking a lot of the responsibility on his shoulders. And, you know, it's one thing for him to tell us, hey, it's my fault. It's my, you know, my decisions. Mm. The team has faltered because of things that I've done. But it's another when you're talking to the owner and it's your future, Mike, and you're saying, hey, why did you lose these games? What would you go back and change? And again, I don't know what Arthur Blank's approach is, but I think if I was sitting there with him, it's just a hard sell. And to be quite honest with you guys, Arthur Smith didn't get a chance to do that. And he got 2 years. Arthur, three. He did not get a chance to come back and do what he had hoped to do, which in the process of building this offense around his vision, again, that was Drake, that was Bijan, right? And the fact is, now you're telling me that Raheem is going to get that opportunity. I don't know, Mike. I don't feel that. And for those who don't know this story, and I've told it on various podcasts and whatnot, but at the end of Arthur Smith's tenure, they were already talking to Bill Belichick prior to the end of the season. So I will tell you right now, if you think that Raheem is gone, and we do not know, but Mike took this unofficial poll and we're having some fun with it, then you have to believe that they are probably already talking to whomever they might be interested in. Because the Belichick thing just didn't come out of thin air. There were weeks in advance prior to the end of the season that these conversations were going on. And then at the end of the year when Arthur was fired, we're talking about Arthur Smith, then all of a sudden it became a story when, in fact, they had been talking. So, you know, I think, Mike, it's just a hard sell. And here's the other part about this. Like, let me ask you this, because this is something we were going to discuss today. And our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, I just saw him in the hallway, and he's like, happy holidays. Mm-hmm. And I was like, D, this whole article that you wrote about the fake narrative from Michael Penix saying this is going to be the best offense in the league, I think it's fair. But I also think that's something that the head coach has to answer for. Why has this offense been as bad, Mike, as it's been all season long? How do you answer that to Mr. Arthur Blank?
Right, and that's the thing. You know, it's funny. You and I were just talking about it yesterday's show. We thought, wow, man, we can have Bijan out wide, bunch formation, Pitts in the slot. You got Drake. Now, again, we didn't realize that Mooney was going to have the injury. But here's the thing. When Mooney goes down, that's a role, as you said, last year for Pitts to step up. And that wasn't even an injury. Just a chance for Pitts to kind of step up his game. You've got enough pieces.
Yep.
You know, and Bijan is such a Swiss Army. You're going to use Bijan anywhere on the field. So why were we so predictable? The experts call us predictable. So why is that? And why did you hire a guy who's never been an offensive coordinator before? Why did Mr. Blank allow that to happen? I mean, you're getting a second shot, blank check, because having two guys in Jimmy Lake and Zach Robinson – that have never done this at this level, that, you know, we should, you and I, and I, we're not the only ones, should have said, you know what, this is a major red flag here.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who reminded me today that he said this back to me prior to the start of training camp, and he sent me the text that he sent me, and I had to laugh. He goes, "You don't remember this text?" No, I only get a million of them a day.
Right.
But the point is, in the text, he's saying to me, "Dukes, I'm really concerned about Zach Robinson. I'm really concerned about what this offense may look like. And I'm also concerned about Michael Penix because I don't know if he's the guy." And at that point, you got to go back and remember where we were. The excitement level of not knowing and seeing three games right. under Penix.
And thinking he's going to.
Correct.
Thinking this guy's got. He, you know, he looked the part, certainly in the big moment. Maybe I read too much into that. But the Commanders game, that was a big stage. He drew a pick, but he came back and did enough to win the game.
I'm with you. And so we were excited about the what if. Like, if this turns out to be what we think it is. But the Zach Robinson thing, he just quoted that and kind of, you know, marked it in red for me today and said, "Look, you don't remember this." No, but you were right. And so as we talk about this unofficial poll, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to talk to Kirk Cousins today. We will talk to Ra coming up here live at Flowery Branch. But, Mike, I think if you were to ask and do this poll on the streets, right, man on the street, we went down to our offices in Midtown and we were out on Peachtree and we just said, "Hey, fired, not fired, stay, not stay." I think you'd get a similar reaction, because I do think there are a lot of people who go, "Wait a minute, man, hold on. This quarterback got hurt. You know what? Offensive coordinator screwed this up. He didn't screw it up. OC screwed it up. What about these guys that didn't show up at the beginning of the season like we thought they were? Like this Kyle Pitts dude."
Yeah.
There are people who are making reasons why this is not about Raheem.
Well, they're making excuses because in time immemorial in the NFL, man, or college, or your job, like the buck stops with the head coach. He hired the assistants that aren't getting the results. He's got to find a way to push the buttons on some of these players. Some guys need a slap in the ass. Some guys need a pat on the back. And I would also argue that, you know, the general manager doesn't, you know, get a free ride on this also, because the whole idea, I had all these guys tell me, "Oh, no, this is great. We got redundancy now. We got two quarterbacks." No, we had none. It's literally, we had none. Okay, we had $150 million, and we had a top 10 draft pick, and it wound up being nothing. You know, and so that was, again, the stupidest thing that's ever been done. And I had that, and I didn't have to die on that hill. I'm living on that hill. But we'll talk to Kirk, because the good news is, since he's come back and he's under center more than he's in the pistol and he's getting Pitts involved, the offense has had some life pumped into it.
404-726-0929, guys, want to hear from you. And when we talk about this, again, the whole fake narrative thing about the offense and how good it was going to be, I do think this is what Michael Penix thought this was going to be. He's not telling us a lie. He just felt like, "Look, I'm throwing to these guys. This looks good. It feels good." I have no issues with him saying at the time that he thought this was going to be one of the best offenses in the league. The problem was, we did not know how this offense would function once it got underway. And then when we saw that and the inability to adjust necessarily week to week, then you start to question, okay, how's this working? What's the complexity of this offense, and why is it looked the way it does? That's not on Michael Penix. Hey. Michael Penix as the quarterback should be saying, "Hey, man, with these weapons, bro, we should have one of the best offenses."
Right, and I think, you know, that's what he does as a leader. We talked about the leadership of Michael Penix. You know, we talked about everything from the scrap with the Titans and all his teammates having his back. That's what you want. You want, Carl, a little swagger, okay? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is Zach Robinson got predictable. When all the big names in media are saying, "Hey, man, that offense is predictable." You know, Kurt Warner, who doesn't criticize anybody, he says, "Wow, the Falcons are really predictable." You know, we heard even Drew Brees on the broadcast. He got one shot to look at the Falcons and talk about how much better they look, you know, under center, and why, kind of confused why they didn't do more of that. Zach's in over his head. Always has been. And, I mean, that's the only way Raheem would ever stay, I think, in this job is both the special teams coach and the OC get got.
Well, there will be changes, and if he stays, those changes, I think, are coming. As we are live at Flowery Branch, guys, you can text us, you can tweet at us. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We had a great conversation with Alex Anthopoulos yesterday, late in the show, if you missed it. And he kind of explained to Mike and I all the things, and we discussed it today on the pregame show, or should I say behind-the-scenes show that we do before the show. And, you know, the thing about Alex, man, I think, Mike, he's obviously well aware of what they need to do, but it's is he addressing it? And it feels like, just my general sense, the bullpen priority, right? Bullpen priority, because I think he understands, like so many other general managers around baseball, this notion of what was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, okay, and this is how it was, You win with dominant starters in the playoffs. And that is not true anymore. You win with a dominant bullpen. And you should have good starters to get you going. But we've even seen teams, Mike, have these bullpen starts in the playoffs. Right. And the teams, if you go back and look over the last decade, go look. The teams with the best bullpen, including ours, the night shift, are the teams that have won World Series. There are two things you got to do. You got to hit home runs, and you got to have a great bullpen. And Alex, this offseason, has addressed that, which has you kind of scratching your head because you're like, dude, you're going to get a closer. Why is this guy not a closer?
I mean, the big Suarez, like, so Suarez is going to be like the John, it's going to be like, he's going to be the Rivera. I mean, yeah, if our guy was Wetland, if you want to take it back to the 96 Yankees.
You're right.
But it's not where Iglesias is. Now, Iglesias was top 10 in saves. I think Suarez had 11 more saves on the year than he did. Strikeouts are actually identical. I looked it up yesterday when we spoke with Alex, but I've always in it. Alex, we joked around about it, but he gets it. You know, I want velocity. I want velo coming out of the bullpen to close out. 1-2-3, nobody on base, no two-run homers, you know, and that's unfortunately what Iglesias does. So we'll see. Alex did not rule out the fact that at some point the roles may switch. And look, with all due respect to Iglesias, okay, it's not like we're talking with Goose Gossage here about asking his permission, but Alex did ask
respect.
Him, and he said, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but okay. I mean, maybe if Craig Kimbrell stayed here for 20 years, he'd get to get that ask. But Iglesias signed off on Suarez coming in, but I still don't understand why Suarez wouldn't be the guy closing.
Go check out that interview, guys. We're going to talk more about it. It was good stuff as he laid out the plan for this offseason as we get ready for another Braves year. And it looks like, you know, they're addressing all the things. The one thing they haven't done is going out and got a high-dollar, high-end starter. I don't know if they're going to.
But just give me, as I said to Alex, he didn't disagree, an innings eater.
Yes.
Because you've got guys coming off injury and young pitchers like a Walter, who's never going to be – he pitched 150 innings last year. That's not maybe what he's going to be asked to pitch next season.
The problem is, Mike, if he does another Chris Sale-type deal, people will poo-poo it because it's not a brand name. He can go out and get a guy that maybe is a guy that could eat innings, but maybe he's coming off of an injury, or maybe he's not a
proven
guy.
But that's where we shop. That's where we live. And look, the Gosmans of the world, those are the kind of guys, you know, we'll be getting.
All right, man, more to get to. We're live at Flowery Branch. Want to hear from you. When we get back, he was named the Offensive Player of the Week. Who and what does it mean? Coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.